So we continue our little series this morning. I want to take you to Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. They came to Bethsaida, and they is Jesus and the disciples. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. And when he'd spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and then his eyes were opened, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village." There's an old movie, title of the movie, Funny Girl, and there's a song in there where the lyrics say, "People. People who need people are the luckiest people in the world." And how true is that? Because how amazing are these beings that God created called human beings? So different and yet so similar in our messes, in our misery, in our marvelousness. But to thrive, to become what God intended us to be, our hearts need to change. And we need to learn how to love in a different way. Because only when God touches our heart can we see the world in the way that God sees the world. And for that to happen, because it doesn't come naturally, we need God's touch. So let me explain that from our passage. Let me take you back there. So when they come to Bethsaida, people come with a blind man and they bring him to Jesus. And then they ask Jesus to do something. And it's interesting. I wonder if you noticed that. When they ask Jesus about this blind man, they don't say, "Will you heal him? Will you do a miracle?" They ask him, "Will you touch him?" Jesus takes him by the hand, walks outside the village, spits on his eyes, touches his eyes. And he says, "Can you see?" And he says, "I can see people. But they look like trees." And then Jesus touches him again. Second touch. And this time says the man, "I can see everything clearly." Somehow, my friends, I think that often we need that second touch of God in our own lives to see God's broken heart for this world, to see people the way that God sees them, in their uniqueness, in their pricelessness, in their sacredness. But to see that, we need that second touch from God. Let me give you three reasons why I say that. In the first instance, I think we need God to touch us so that we can see with God's heart, because people matter to God. Let me ask you a question. How do we know how God acts, how God reacts, how God thinks, what God wants? Yes, we read the Bible, but how do we see that? We see that in the life of Jesus. And let me just take you for a little walk with Jesus. Let me take you to Luke chapter 12. So Jesus is talking to a crowd of people who are struggling with their lives, who are being just made objects by the Romans. And people who are saying, "We don't know what to do, and it's so hard." And Jesus says to them, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." People who are just seen as objects, who are not loved and cared for by the Roman government. And then Jesus says to them, "Can I tell you something? Don't worry about that stuff. Think about what God sees in you. God counted the hair on your head. That's how much God loves you." How do you think that made them feel? That they matter to God, right? When the mothers bring their little children to Jesus, and the disciples get away. Jesus doesn't have time for this. And he says, "Whoa, bring them back." Remember, children in those days were just, again, things that you could use. And Jesus bends down and hugs the child, blesses them. How do you think that made them feel? That they mattered, that they were loved, that they were precious. When Jesus walks up to a leper and touches a leper, remember, lepers were to shout, unclean, stay away. And he walks right up to them and he touches that leper. How do you think that made the leper feel? That they mattered, right? And we can go on and on and on. When he sits down with that dishonest businessman, when he talks with the woman who's caught on adultery. Why does he do that? Because people matter to God. So here's the thing. How's your heart doing? Do you need a second touch to see people the way that God sees them? Because people matter. There's a second reason. Because sometimes I think we become blind. And like this blind man, we see. And we see people, but they look like trees. Because we've become blind by so many things. So often we are blinded by our arrogance of who we are and what we are. And we think that gives us the right to look at people and look down on people. And we become blind. Sometimes we're blinded by our privilege. Sometimes we're blinded because of our feelings of superiority, or sometimes our feelings of inferiority blind us. Sometimes we're blinded by our fears. But here's the thing. Unfortunately, when this happens, it ends up in such tragedy. Suffering comes on the landscape. We lose that feeling, that touch, that care for people. The sense of worth for people is lost. People come knocking at the door of our heart, and they walk away weeping because we become blind. There's a song that I've been listening to lately that I really, really like. It's written by Zach Williams. It's called Less Like Me. And it kind of explains a little bit of this. Listen to these lyrics. Oh, I have days I lose the fight. Try my best, but I just don't get it right. Where I talk a talk that I don't walk and miss the moments right before my eyes blind. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with a hand that I could have held. When I just can't see past myself, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith, a little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, and a little less like me. We need that touch because sometimes we're a little too much like me and not like Jesus. There's a third reason. The only investment that we can make that lasts forever is the investment that is made into the life of a human being. Matthew 6. Jesus says to the people, do not store up treasures here on earth where moth and rust can get to it and spoil it, or where thieves can come and steal it. But gather treasures for yourself in heaven where moths and rust cannot come and spoil it, and where thieves cannot come and steal that. How? Question when you read that. How do you store up treasures in heaven? How do you invest in heaven? Definitely not. In the homes that we so love, they're temporary. Definitely not in all things like our cars. They're temporary. Definitely not in all the fame that some folks think that they can have. It's temporary. But the greatest investment we can make is when we invest in the life of another human being. That's when we invest in heaven, because that's where we will find people. That's the greatest investment that we can ever make. So can I ask you to do a little something? As you sit there, just in your mind's eye, will you walk through your house and all these amazing things that you have? And as you walk past them in your mind's eye, will you just put signs all over them? Temporary. Will you walk outside and put a sign on your car? Temporary. Will you walk into that office where you spend so much time with all the technology and all the junk? Will you just put a sign on that? Temporary. And then can I ask you to do something else? As you sit there, think of your loved ones, your husband, your wife, your mother, your father. And then will you put a sign on them? Forever. Think of your children. Put a sign on them. Forever. Your colleagues that you meet at work, that you need to work with, will you put a sign on them? Forever. That person that you can't stand, that you see as your enemy, will you put a sign on him, on her? Forever. One more, please. Will you put a sign on yourself that says, forever, because you've been touched by Jesus. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, thank you that you made a forever investment in our lives when Jesus came into our lives and you put your Holy Spirit into us. So Lord, as we go into this world, touch us a second time that we might see what Jesus would see, so that we can be a little more like Jesus and a little less like me. That we can see people in their uniqueness, in their pricelessness, in their sacredness, as you see them. Help us to be the hand that reaches out, the heart that cares, the life that gives, like Jesus did. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the table of the Lord, the bread of forgiveness, the wine of release. What a joy to celebrate this with you as we remember the gift that came in Jesus Christ when he gave his body and his blood to each one of us. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Father God, you came to this world in Jesus Christ, your Son. And when the darkness wanted to overwhelm you, Lord, your light shone, and the darkness could not overwhelm the light of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You came into this world, and you changed us forever. And you gave the signs of your body and blood to remind us of what you have come to do, to give us life in all of its abundance. So as we take the bread and as we drink the wine, will you please bless, Lord, this moment. Bless the bread, bless the wine. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In the night that the Lord Jesus was being delivered into the hands of his enemies that would nail him to a cross, he was there with his disciples, and at the table he took bread. And when he had given thanks for the bread, he broke the bread. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take this bread and eat this. And every time you eat this bread, remember me. For this is my body that is broken for you as a forgiveness for many sins." So take your bread. And as you eat this bread, remember that Jesus gave his life so that you may have life in abundance. The body of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your broken body that brings a healing and a fullness for us. Thank you that we know that we belong to you and that we are one with you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. After the meal, the Lord Jesus took the cup of thanksgiving. And he said, "This wine is the new covenant that is built in my blood. So take this cup and drink, each one of you. And every time you drink of this cup, remember that my blood was given to you as a perfect redemption for all of your sins. So take this cup and drink. And remember, this is for you. The blood of Christ." There's an old song that says, "There is power. Power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. You cleansed us. You washed us in your blood so that we might be white as snow and pure as wool. And thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving your life, your body, and your blood. Amen." We're going to give thanks for the Lord for blessing us in this way. And as part of that thanksgiving, I'm also going to lead you in the Lord's Prayer. And please pray with me. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of the deeds of the Lord. For the Lord is great and the Lord is good." Thank you for blessing us, Lord, with the signs of your body and your blood. In thanksgiving, we pray the prayer that you taught us. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."